storms running through the Midwest, like a bandit out on the loose. And all the clouds are black as nightfall, but all I see is you. And rain's pouring through the window panes and the cracks of this roof. Tea's boiling from the spout of the pot, but all I see is you. Yeah. It's like the nights in Salt Lake City where the snow fell down too soon. People laughed and howled from their beers, but all I could see was you. And I remember our first night abroad, the sun traded shifts with the moon. There was a lot to take in for some eyes from East Texas, but all I could see was you. 'Cause all I ever see is you.
February 9th, 2023. My name is Critch, and you guys and gals are tuned into Canadian Patriot Radio. Welcome. I know the shows have been a little bit sparse lately, but I have explained to you guys multiple times I'm a busy person just like you. A lot of stuff going on, so it's been quite difficult this winter to get in here and record as steady as I was earlier, but we'll see. I'm hoping that there's a few changes here that can make things a little bit easier to keep doing this, or to keep a little steadier than what I was. Okay, we got lots to do today. We got a Chinese spy balloon that flew over our country from Alaska all the way down to the coast of Louisiana. We've got the Americans putting Twitter on the hot seat. House committees questioning Twitter. It's gold, solid gold. Will anything become of it? Probably not. But at least you're getting a lot of truth revealed. We're going to go through some of that. we've got major revelations in the basically cases that are coming globally towards Pfizer. Some governments of the world basically being lied to about the COVID vaccines. That's really cool. I got Trump's response. There's no sense even repeating anything that the installed puppet in chief did at the State of the Union address, but I do have Trump's response to it. And we're also going to talk about this healthcare stuff that's basically happening with the federal and provincial governments. You guys are probably well aware that there's a hook to it. You've got to sign up for a digital ID to get this funding. So it will go through how Scott Moe responded to that. But what I wanted to do first was focus on this spy balloon, because this one probably got under a lot of people's collars as well as mine. And a lot of people just think it's a distraction. But when you really start to dissect this, there's huge problems here. Huge problems. So there was a committee that basically had gone through this. Raquel Dancho had questioned smirk guy Mark Medicino about this, being that he's the Minister of Public Health and Safety. And of course, well, I'll just play it for you, and we'll comment like we always do.
Very much to the minister regarding the spy balloons. My understanding is the Canadian people did not find out about the spy balloon from your government. It was actually from the American news agencies. Their government, the American government, told the American news agencies very transparently. So Canadians actually found out about the spy balloon that was over Canadian sovereignty for several days, not from your government, and not from a Canadian news agency, but from an American one. Do you find that acceptable?
First, Ms. Dancho, as you well know, when it comes to the briefings that the government receives from our national security and intelligence community of agencies, that there is a lot of regard to careful and cautious around when information is released, so that we do not in any way jeopardize either the integrity of the operations which are being undertaken to protect national security, as well as the people who are engaged in those operations. And that is a matter of the utmost sensitivity, as you can appreciate.
Do you just on that, Minister, do you find then that the American government doesn't have that same commitment to national security as you've said? I mean, they did share, again, they shared the information with their people long before before you shared it with us.
I'm glad you added that qualifier. But I would just say, I mean, you allude to the cooperation between Canada and the United States. Canada and the United States were stitched up on this particular event. We shared intelligence. We shared and coordinated our efforts. And as you heard my colleague, Minister Anand, say, we fully supported
Understood.
The United States' actions in bringing down
are you aware
one of those balloons.
Are you aware of other spy balloons that have been on over Canadian territory?
What I would say to you and to the members of this committee is that we are always vigilant around potential threats to our airspace, to our sovereignty, and to our national security.
It's a non-answer.
Can
you commit to this committee that you will be more transparent, or that you'll be the first to deliver the news in the event that this happens again, unlike a few days ago when we had to wait for American news outlets to confirm it?
The government will always share and be transparent when it can, without in any way compromising our classified information, the people who work in these agencies, or the integrity of the operations, which are there to protect the national security and the Canadian people.
Did your government have intentions to release this information at any point, or did you just confirm it because the Americans did? Would your government have released this information if the Americans chose not to?
We are always transparent as quickly as we possibly can be, having regard to the sensitivity of the operations that are undertaken to protect our national security.
But you can't tell me if this has happened before. You can't explain why you weren't the first to deliver the news to Canadians, and you can't commit if you're going to tell us if this happens again. That's what we're seeing this committee today, Minister.
The government will always be transparent as soon as we can be when
it
comes to our national security.
Minister, respectfully, that is not transparent. I think it's a definition of not being transparent by not sharing this information with the public. That's the opposite of transparent.
Well, we have shared information. We have coordinated with our allies. I would argue that the timing in which we made that information available was generally contemporaneous to the events themselves, and we'll continue to share information without compromising either the classified nature of the information that we receive, because we've got people who are in the line of duty. There are lives at stake. There are techniques at stake. This is complex stuff, as you well appreciate, Ms. Dancho, and we are upfront with Canadians as soon as we can be.
Excuse me, Ms. Dancho, your time has expired.
He can probably answer that. Were their lives at stake as a result of this spy balloon? It's quite significant that he mentioned
that. Very quickly.
We have people who are in the field who work in a wide range of agencies, including in the Canadian military, and yes, every day they put their lives at stake.
So there's smart guy Mark Medicino basically beating around the bush, not answering any questions, being non-transparent, as you heard kind of Raquel point out. The problem with this, my friends, is the fact that a Chinese heavy air quotes spy balloon went from the coast of Alaska all the way over Canada. And it wasn't until it was over, I think, South Dakota or maybe southern Montana before we even heard about it. If you want my honest-to-God opinion, the Canadian government, CSIS, and the Canadian military, if the Americans hadn't said a word, they wouldn't have even mentioned it. And to me, that's a huge problem. Because I don't know if you guys are aware, but the Chinese have equipped these so-called weather balloons with nuclear warheads before. They were testing them. I've seen footage of them testing actual like Stinger missiles and warheads. Not to mention that you could easily equip these things with aerosol-equipped pathogen delivery devices or EMPs. So the fact that the Canadian government didn't actually come clean and disclose this to the Canadian people, in my mind, is treason, is absolute treason. And you've got people south of the line calling for Joe Biden's head over this. The fact that it went from the Canadian border all the way to South Carolina, to the coast of South Carolina. They're saying the exact same thing. They're saying it's treason and he needs to be investigated for it, if not completely removed, impeached. So we'll see how it plays out. But the it's even worse for us in Canada. They just don't respect their people at all. they would have never told you about it. If the Americans hadn't come clean about it, the Canadian government, CSIS, and the military would have never told you. Probably RCMP intelligence, too, was fully aware. And there's no reason that this thing wasn't shot down off the in the Bering Sea, off the coast of Alaska. Like, that's the real question. Why didn't the Americans just shoot it down there before it even came over the soil? And who's to know if it wasn't delivering deadly pathogens or it was spraying something? We just don't know. Because and will we ever know? No. And a lot of people are saying this is just a distraction. Very well could be. But the fact that you've got China, the country of origin of COVID-19, flying stuff over our whole continent is a huge concern for a lot of us. Because we still haven't even gotten to the bottom of the release of COVID-19. Anyway, my friends, let's get this show started. We got a lot to cover, so we'll be right back. Welcome, friends, to Canadian Patriot Radio, where conspiracy is not theory and political corruption finds the spotlight. CPR, we are committed to upholding Canadians' God-given rights to life, liberty, and freedom with all thy sons. Command. Okay, welcome back, my friends. What I'd like to do next is focus your attention on basically the healthcare fiasco, or not necessarily fiasco. What's going on is the federal government has been falling short of its commitment to healthcare to the provinces, and finally the provinces got just an idiot nailed down to at least a bit better funding than what we've been seeing for the last however many years. And as you guys know, all of our healthcare woes are the fact that it's underfunded. It's a money-making scheme. If you were ever to see the healthcare invoices that are being sent out to the government, you'd see that it's a complete line. Like, everything's costing six times what it should. The healthcare costs are off the charts. But that's not what we're getting at here. What's happening is, and of course, you guys are fully aware that there's just no money for free when it comes to the federal government, unless you're laundering money for them through Ukraine. But those of us that actually need it within the country that they're stealing it from, well, there's obviously going to be attachments to it. You're not just going to get it for the things that you want. And what they're trying to do is roll out a digital ID with it. So I'm going to direct your attention to a article by the Western Standard, and the title reads, Mo says no to healthcare digital IDs after public outcry. This is by Christopher Oldcorn, and it was written on February 2nd, 2023. Premier Scott Mo told the Trudeau government Saskatchewan will not create or participate in a national healthcare digital ID. The government of Saskatchewan is not creating a digital ID, nor will we accept any requirements for the creation of a digital ID tied to healthcare funding, wrote Mo in a public letter to Saskatchewanians. Mo said any healthcare funding from the federal government requiring the province to participate in a healthcare digital ID would be refused. The Health Information Protection Act ensures that provincial government does not share personal medical information. The government of Saskatchewan will not share any personal medical information with the federal government. This information is protected under the Health Information Protection Act and will remain so, said Mo. The only information the Saskatchewan government reports publicly is the healthcare statistics, and Mo is willing to do that, but only publicly available statistics such as surgical wait times. The government of Saskatchewan may share already publicly available healthcare statistics, including the number of physicians in Saskatchewan and surgical wait times if requested by any party, including the federal government, said Mo. After public outcry and a letter-writing campaign from concerned citizens, Mo wrote the letter about introducing healthcare digital IDs. The premiers, including Mo, called on the Trudeau government to meet about the federal healthcare funding as it dropped from 35% to only 22%. In recent years, federal funding of healthcare has fallen from 35% of healthcare costs to 22%, said Mo. Mo wants the federal government to return to a full funding partner to provide Canadians with the healthcare they expect. It's critical to get a new Canadian health transfer agreement where the federal government returns to a full funding partner of healthcare, said Mo. The government of Saskatchewan will not surrender or weaken any personal health privacy rights when signing a new Canadian health transfer agreement, said Mo. Instead, we will work diligently towards funding agreements that benefit the Saskatchewan people by investing in healthcare in both rural and urban areas of our province. So Mo is kind of standing up and saying, yeah, no, we're not having it. This is not going to happen. I hope. We'll see. They could still work this through a backdoor I don't know. Mo's kind of been doing the right things. He's doing a lot of things similar to Danielle Smith, but realistically, he's only got a province of, what, 1.8 million, 2 million people, and the majority are against a lot of the things that you're seeing the Davos self-proclaimed elite trying to roll out onto the global population. So when you're basically a frontline politician like Scott Mo or Danielle Smith or any of the premiers, especially the ones with lower populations, if you don't listen to your people, you're signing your own death warrant. You're out. You won't even make one election cycle. That, you know, a vote of non-confidence would be pushed rather quickly in Saskatchewan if you saw Scott Mo bending the knee to globalist policy. So he's between a rock and a hard place because, you know, you don't get to the level of politics even provincially without being compromised or being a part of the system. So he's got a tough you're gonna be getting pressured from the globalist top dogs, and then you're gonna from underneath you're gonna have people shaking their head and saying no go, man. So I'm glad he sided with the people. Let's hope it's real, and I hope other obviously Danielle Smith is the same. She wouldn't be having any part of this, and I'm sure that there's other premiers that would also jump on board, but it's interesting to see that, you know, they've attached a hook to this funding, and of course they're going to try and get it through no matter what. Like, they're in the process of crashing our economy by through their carbon tax, which is all complete garbage, but and lending out hundreds of billions of dollars to money launderers, presidents of other countries. So it's definitely interesting to watch, but it's at least for the Skatch folks, it's nice to see that the premier is speaking the right lingo. Okay, my friends, I want to switch gears. I want to get into basically the counter punches that are being thrown all over the world towards the COVID mRNA vaccine or experimental injection rollout. There's been three major wins, if not more, just recently that have kind of turned the tides here. Now, the first was a little clip that I had found of a gal. I don't even know who she is, but they took Albert Bourla to court in the UK, and they won for basically misleading the public on the vaccines for children. I'm just going to play this gal's clip. I wish I knew her name. I'm sorry that I don't, but I'll just play her for you, and then we'll kind of just take the next step further.
On our side is that we can now talk about. We've been asked not to talk about it until now. We now can. So we took Pfizer to the regulator in the UK about comments that he made on the BBC about the kids' vaccine, and we won. So Pfizer CEO Dr. Baller has been found guilty of misleading parents about the COVID vaccine for kids. As you'd expect, we'll be writing and talking more about that over the coming weeks. And yeah, it just reinforces our view that there are deep, deep issues plaguing kids in the UK. And, you know, we will continue to fight the regulatory capture and vested interests, which we see as so detrimental to children's health and welfare. We really hope.
So what I really like about this one is the fact that, okay, so he's been found guilty of misleading parents about the COVID vaccine when it comes in regards to children. This opens the door for liability suits. So if you're a parent in the UK or parents in the UK and your child is vaccine damaged from the mRNA vaccines, this potentially opens the door for you to personally sue Albert Bourla. That's what I like about that. But better than that yet, my friends, is the fact that this is going to open the door for law or cases of misinformation or misleading the public. Keyword public. Those are going to be the big ones. When they start actually losing cases about misleading, because they did. What did they tell you? They told you that it was 99% effective. They told you it was 80% effective. They told you it was 70, 60, 50, and it went down and down and down. Turns out they knew the whole time, or they didn't know because they hadn't tested for transmission or anything. So when they told you that, the public at large, when they said that, even people that didn't fall for this garbage, when they said it was 99% effective, that was an open lie. They totally knew it wasn't. They knew through their trials that it wasn't, that people were still getting it and spreading it. And so it was lies from start to finish. Misinformation, misleading the public. Big, big ones. I would hope that we're going to see cases in that regard rather soon, because this opens the door for all of that. So this is monumental. It might not seem like it, misleading the parents in the UK about the vaccine safety, but it's monumentally huge for the reasons that I just explained. Okay, what I want to do next, my friends, is take you into yet another couple of cases, actually. We're going to turn it over to Todd Callender, Attorney Todd Callender. This is the guy that broke a lot of the information we know about the 40% rise in all-cause mortalities in the U.S. Todd Callender is an underwriter for, he's a lawyer, number one, but he's also an underwriter for insurance companies. So he's the one that really has been breaking a lot of information. He's fighting a lot of these cases stateside and globally. And what he's going to talk to you about is the fact that the Swiss president and their minister of health are under investigation and indictment and prosecution by the Attorney General for COVID crimes involving lying about the vaccine effectiveness and safety. He's also going to fill you in on the fact that Thailand, the royal family in Thailand, I'll let him tell you. This is just a great clip. It's fairly long. We'll see if we'll let it run the entirety, but it's 18 minutes long. So let's turn it over to Todd Callender so you guys can hear all of this.
Well, I found out yesterday that a gentleman by the name of Pascal Najati in Switzerland was able to get convinced the Swiss Attorney General of the nation to prosecute the Swiss president and the Minister of Health for abuse of process. There are two other criminal defendants that are sealed at this moment in time, but the president himself and the Minister of Health are under investigation, indictment, and prosecution by the Swiss Attorney General. It's the first criminal complaint anywhere on the planet that has legs. This is the first time anywhere that anybody's been charged with these crimes, and it happened in Switzerland. I just heard about it yesterday. I'm also working with a royal family in Southeast Asia who had one of their family members killed. They are able, by virtue of their lineage and power in that country, to convene their own war crimes tribunal. So we're pursuing that outside of the United States because we can't get anything done inside the United States. The tide has changed. It's really changed. And now you're going to see the floodgates open. These are universal jurisdiction crimes, which means that if Switzerland wanted to prosecute our president, they would not only have the ability to do that and do that in absentia, they would have the ability to sentence and actually carry out that sentence in absentia, meaning the extraterritorially. If they were able to find a treaty partner, they could go and grab whoever it is responsible, bring him back to Switzerland for the execution, if that's what the sentence was. This is a big deal. This is a huge deal. The first sovereign to do this.
I have been involved in many crises of governments. Some of them were discussions of war and peace. And what I'm doing now is the duty of a Swiss citizen, according to Article 6 of our Swiss Constitution, meaning to uphold, respect the laws, the Constitution, and justice, so that the democracy that we are blessed with, rare on this earth, will be upheld and can continue for generations to last. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a strategic banker and advisor. And in this case, I have to tell everybody again, me, my wife, and my mother, she's 80, we are vaccinated or injected 3 times by Pfizer-BioNTech mRNA. Stop. By the way, my mother's side, my great-granduncle was president of Switzerland and federal council, his famous Rudolf Minger. I feel also for him obliged to seek justice in this country so that people can be free. This case, this flag is now watched globally because it's the only and the first running criminal case against a sitting head of state regarding the vaccine policy that has been driving, he's been driving as Minister of Health in Switzerland for the past 3 years. Still ongoing. He's still Minister of Health. Now he's president. I have filed criminal charges, so I'm not filing a lawsuit. I have filed criminal charges with the police on the 2nd of December in Lucerne last year, after I found out from Pfizer, Janine Small, that the endpoints of the vaccine have never been tested. She said that in a grand forum of the European Parliament. I was shocked. So I went back the records of official statements, and I came to the Federal Office of Public Health, which is presided by and handled by President Berset still today, at the time, on the 3rd of August 21, Dr. Virginie Masseret said in a press conference to journalists and her colleagues on the board that that vaccinated people transmit the virus as much as unvaccinated people and are not protected from the coronavirus. Okay, I made a note. I went on and on and on, and the government kept on proclaiming on all channels, through social media to government TV and backwards, print media, the vaccine is safe. The vaccine has been tested, like other vaccines have been tested and regulated in this country, and it protects you from infection and from retransmission to other people. Now, on the 27th of October, 21, I found a television program, prime time, President Berset, at that time Federal Council, and again, Minister of Health, said, with the certificate, you can show that you are not contagious. Clear, I make a note. So I find out there is a contre-vérité, an untruth spoken in public, contradicting his own head of infection control, Dr. Virginie Masseret, from August of the same year, 3 months back, which means the Ministry of Health knew, at least what I can judge from, in August 21, that the vaccine is not functioning. He said this statement in October, with the certificate, you can show that you are not contagious, because he wanted to push through the unconstitutional, by the way, COVID law, which created a two-speed society, which is fascism, in my personal view. Leave that aside, I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I took the decision, and it was not easy, but I had to do it. If I observe a crime, if Harry shoots Miller on the street here with a gun, I have to call the police and report it. So I took that down on a memo, on a one-page memo. It's famous because it's so short. Went to the police station, filed the criminal charges at the police station, and then it went to the cantonal, the state prosecution, for about 1 week. And then it went, it continued its voyage. It was not rejected, to the highest authority in prosecution, to the federal prosecution of this country in Bern, the Attorney General. Since then, I have, I must say, a very pleasant, coherent, transparent communication with the prosecutor of Switzerland, who is handling the dossier. I had a deadline of the 23rd of January, a few days ago, and I have, within the deadline, successfully submitted the extension of the criminal charges, which is 9 pages. I will not go, for prosecution technical reasons, into details and contents of that extension, because, again, I'm not the prosecutor, I'm not the judge. I trust that the justice system functions in Switzerland, and the whole world now is looking at this case to see how our justice is handling this criminal case against now President and Federal Counsel and Minister of Health and Interior of Switzerland regarding the handling of the vaccination program in this country involving 9 million people's health, of which 70%, according to statistics, are jabbed at least once. And many of them have serious medical conditions, or unfortunately, some of them died in consequence of the mRNA injection. So for me, and I tell you to all of you and the world, I always said it on the New Year's speech I made on YouTube, it's still there. The year 2023 is the year of absolute truth for humanity. And I mean it, because we look at mathematics, it's the largest science of all sciences. Mathematics can explain everything in the universe that we know. But mathematics is only one science focus. It is the search always for absolute truth. And this mission is given to us, human beings, and justice to function and run its course. I cannot tell you how fast it will go. However, I have demanded certain immediate actions, because there is lives at risk. The vaccination program is still going on with a substance that we now know is poison for the body, and the dosis is unknown. It's a vaccination program based on a substance that technically, and I'm not a toxicologist, but I've learned from professors that is impossible to authorize through a regulator of any country in this world. So this is what I've done, and I've done it also with the guidance of Jesus Christ and God, because there's a higher being that has created us, and we are humans, and we have to look to unite. And the last thing I want to say is, we have to be calm, we have to be strong and united, then the people will be free.
So there are Thai activists in Thailand with whom we have been connected over the past year. And they said, if you are coming to Thailand, I am still a Thai, by the way, I am Thai German, we will connect you with authorities and advisors to the highest authorities in Thailand. And this is what happened. And so I had the opportunity, the first opportunity in 3 years, to talk to the top advisors of a government in any country. And it was very, very impressive, because I laid out to them that this whole COVID-19 agenda is a fake, and why it's a fake. And I was able to lay out before them the proof that the COVID vaccinations were based on fraud. And so they said to me, we will see to it that Thailand is the first country in the world that is going to declare this contract null and nullify the contract, which means that Pfizer-BioNTech is going to have to pay back those billions to Thailand, with which Thailand will recompensate those peoples that have lost their existence. You know, we don't, Pascal, you go to Thailand, people are so poor, they've lost everything, and they've lost their lives. And then I said, guys, listen, something happened, you know, in December. And that is that the one daughter of the present king, Ram the 10th, collapsed and is in coma. She, within, I think it was 23 days after the third shot.
And she's young.
Of course, 44 years old, never been seriously ill, collapsed and is now in a coma. And the diagnosis that was given by the authorities and by the university is so ridiculous. She's supposed to have a bacterial infection that will never do what she's suffering from. And so we determined, and the activists in Thailand who have been on this for many, many months now, great guys, also professor from the university in Bangkok, he's gotten in touch with the royal family, and we are sending information to the royal family to alert them to the fact that in all probability, the princess is suffering as a victim of this jab, as so many people around the world have been suffering. It's cardiac. Her heart failed, okay? Her heart failed. And because her heart failed, her brain did not get the oxygen that's needed. And she's still in the intensive care department in Thailand now after more than 6 weeks. Yeah. So it's very, very serious. And if we are able in Thailand to start a movement to say, file a case against Pfizer-BioNTech that they pay for the damage they have done, that's made it. And I've been trying to tell you, Pascal, you Swiss, add this to the charge, and also go and file a case against Pfizer-BioNTech. And I've been told by German lawyers now that this case against Pfizer can be filed in America. And this is going to cost them, if they lose, and they will lose, millions and billions, because these lipids, the enclosing of the mRNA, which is being used now for more and more vaccines that you must be aware of, they are being now released to the world. These lipid components come from America, not from Germany, not from England, not from Switzerland, but from America. And therefore, Pfizer is liable because they're killing people. Now, my last words, Pascal. Realize that the next vaccines, mRNA, packaged in these deadly, deadly packagings are directed against pneumovirus, as Bill Gates declared 3 years ago. The pneumovirus is going to be the next. They are going to release this in spring. Realize that the first vaccinations against influenza, the flu, are mRNA-based and packaged in the same lipids that are killing people. Realize, and this is my last word, that virtually all the vaccines that are in use in veterinary medicine for all the animals in the world that have to be vaccinated, all are now being transformed to the mRNA platform with the same envelopes. And no one knows about this. It's being done undercover. It's not being told to anyone. And generating an income for Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna that is exorbitant. If they can get this through, and they're doing it right now under your noses, they can stop the human vaccines without being hurt, because they're earning so much in this other field that they're saved. So I get so emotional about this, Pascal, and I'm so glad that all of you are listening to this, because if we don't stop them, no one will.
Okay, I should tell you who you were listening to. After Todd Callender, you were listening to Pascal Najati. He was the one that filed the criminal charges, obviously. You heard him say that. And then the second speaker that you were listening to was Dr. Sukratit Bhakti was the second speaker. Now, he's the one in touch with the Thai royal family, as you heard. So you've got two major cases that have the potential to shift the tides. The corporate propaganda mainstream media will just ignore this, but it's basically up to us to follow these two, actually three stories, the one of the UK, as well as these two, the Swiss one and now the Thailand one. And you can bet your bottom dollar that every alternative media is going to be all over these, because these will change everything. The fact the Swiss one is going as far as it is already, it's in the highest court, criminal charges against the president and health top health personnel. That's incredible. So huge revelations in the worlds of vaccines are with the mRNA vaccines. You also heard Dr. Bhakti talk about mRNA injections in animals. There are those of us in the Canadian cattle industry that were well aware that specific vaccines were mRNA. They have been for quite a while, and we have avoided them. So there, you need to, when it comes to your meat products, you really need to start paying attention. I would go local if you've got a rancher friend, ask them what vaccines they are using in their cattle. These are the eight-way vaccines. These are the mRNA shots. You know, I'm heavily skeptical of all vaccines now, especially in the cattle industry. So you really got to just talk to your suppliers. I don't know if I would. I'm gritting my teeth when it comes to supermarket meats. It's kind of scary. It's just a time where I think you really need to know your producer. You really need to watch what you're eating. It's bad enough that we're exposed to GMO products. There's really, honestly, for those of us blue-collar workers, middle class, it's hard to avoid GMOs. So I personally can't tell you what kind of manipulations we're facing because of that, because we've been eating it for years. But organic. I guess look for organic stuff to try and avoid that, and know your meat producers is the way to get around that. So anyway, back to the three cases. This is incredible. What a time to be alive. Like you heard Todd Callender said, this is going to be turning the tides. Okay, we're going to stay on vaccines. All of you by now have seen the Project Veritas latest disclosure of the one Pfizer employee basically admitting that they are going to manipulate the SARS-CoV virus or pathogen so that they can sell more and more vaccines. You guys have all seen that. He completely lost his mind, tried to lock Project Veritas in the restaurant when they've confronted him. He just went squirrely. Anyway, what Project Veritas has done now is they have brought in Dr. Robert Malone to basically respond to Pfizer mutating the SARS-CoV-2 virus for new vaccines. And I want you guys to hear what Dr. Robert Malone had to say about this.
The young gentleman's disclosure that the hypothalamic pituitary gonadal axis is being damaged in some way by the product. That appears to be their working hypothesis based on what he said. That has huge implications and may explain many of the symptom clusters that exist.
Something irregular about their menstrual cycle, so people have to investigate that down the line.
Yeah.
Because that is a little concerning. Because, like, if you think about the science, like, it shouldn't be interacting with, like, you know, it's called, like, the hypothalamus pituitary gonadal axis.
Right.
Like, you know, the hormones are like their menstrual cycles and things like that. And the vaccine shouldn't be interfering with that, so we don't really know.
It shouldn't?
It shouldn't. Like, no.
But is it?
There's something happening, but we don't know if we're
Well, I mean, you're a urologist, so you must understand, like, what's going on with it, right? Like,
well, that's why I understand that it's weird. How we don't find out that, like, there's somehow this mRNA, like, lingers in the body, and then, like, because it has to be impacting something hormonal, so they impact menstrual cycles. Yeah, or, like, the entire next generation is, like, super fucked up. Could you imagine the scandal? Oh, my God. I mean, I take Pfizer off my resume.
What this gentleman is positing is immense in terms of its implications, particularly considering that these products have been administered often through coercion and compulsion to literally billions of humans all across the globe. Damage to the HPA axis can affect your immune system. It affects stress responses. It affects development, childhood development. It has a multiplicity of potential effects on the body. His statement that Pfizer is actually engaged in gene editing research using this technology, intending to develop it for clinical purposes, is also stunning.
Walker doesn't explicitly say that, you know, he doesn't use the words that this affects women's pregnancy. What's the scientific interpretation of how that affects a woman's fertility and overall pregnancy?
So Mr. Walker does not explain the potential reproductive risks that he is identifying as present. The implications here for developing children are profound. All of those risks that were disclosed in the prior videos are forward-looking risks. They're potential future risks in the event that a virus is released. What's remarkable to me about this particular video that you're now releasing is that it is disclosing current risks. It is disclosing Pfizer's apparent awareness of the underlying biology behind those risks. The implication is huge.
So I think it's safe to say through Dr. Robert Malone, what we just heard, that Pfizer's going to have a hell of a time skirting these admissions by one of their own. This is going to get investigated in the U.S., manipulating the genome sequence to basically keep infecting people with new strands of COVID-19. What's to say all these variants, they haven't been doing it already? Delta and Omicron and whatever, the B65, whatever the hell numbers that they've got on the latest strain, right? It's it's extremely damaging to Pfizer. Not only, you know, so they've got the roles are reversing for the actual vaccine pushers, because now they're starting to have to fight on multiple fronts, just like they've been doing to us, but just bombarding us with complete chaos to try and keep us confused and demoralized. It's coming now, the tables are turning, and it's starting to come at them in multiple avenues, and they are going to have a hell of a time fighting this on multiple fronts all over the world, my friends. So this is such a wild time. It's crazy how quick we have gone through the show. There's still two more things for sure that I want to get, so we're going to probably run a little bit over, but you guys have got to hear what happened in Congress, or on one of the boards that's investigating Twitter. We're going to focus on Marjorie Taylor Greene, because she went absolutely just completely animalistic on the Twitter employees. You've got to hear this. She just goes up one side of them, down the other. It was so awesome to see. So let's turn it over to Marjorie Taylor Greene, so you guys can hear this absolutely warranted tongue lashing that happens to these Twitter employees.
Baker, Ms. Gaddy, Mr. Roth, and Ms. Navaroli, you can consider your speech canceled during my time, because you canceled mine. You see, you permanently banned my personal Twitter account, and it was my campaign account also. So let's talk about election interference, shall we? January 2nd, 2002, you permanently banned my Twitter account. This was the account that I would put my campaign ads on, raise money on, fight back when attacked with lies, and be able to talk to my voters in my district. But you banned it. And then let me explain. My account was not reinstated until November 21st, 2022. That was after my election on November 8th. You know, at your company, or your former company where you worked, Twitter employees, over 98% of them donate to Democrats. So while you coordinated with DHS, the FBI, the CIA, our government, and outside groups to permanently ban, shadow ban conservative Americans and candidates like me and the former president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump, you were censoring and wrongfully violating our First Amendment free speech rights. Guess what? None of you hold security clearances. None of you are elected, and none of you represent 750,000 people like I do. Let's explain. 52 United States Law 10101. No person shall intimidate, threaten, coerce, or attempt to stop any other person for the purpose of interfering with their rights to vote, or to vote as he may choose. You didn't shadow ban or permanently ban my Democrat opponent. No, you did that to me. And that was wrong, and it was against the law. You see, not only that, was it me that you violated my First Amendment rights? You violated countless conservative Americans. These were doctors that were trying to tell the truth about COVID, doctors that were having success treating people with ivermectin that you all would not allow to be talked about on your platform. These were parents complaining about their school boards teaching gender lies in their schools, biological males entering their daughters' bathrooms and sports. These were also people questioning the 2020 election. And guess what? That's Americans' First Amendment right. These were people talking about voting machines. You know what? Democrats did that in 2019, before the 2020 election. On Twitter, people could question elections such as 2016, saying Hillary won, but in 2020, no one could question elections saying Trump won. You abused the power of a large corporation, big tech, to censor Americans. And you want to know something? Guess what? I'm so glad that you're censored down. I'm so glad you've lost your jobs. Thank God Elon Musk bought Twitter. And you know what? Let's talk about something a little bit further. It's amazing to me, Mr. Roth, as the head and trust of safety at Twitter, your ability, or should I say inability, to remove child porn. Now, here's something that disgusts me about you. In your doctoral dissertation entitled Gay Data, You argued that minors should have access to Grindr, an adult male gay hookup app. Minors? Really? You know, Elon Musk took over Twitter and he banned 44,000 accounts that were promoting child porn. You permanently banned my Twitter account, but you allowed child porn all over Twitter. Twitter had become a platform, you said, connecting queer young adults. You also wrote on Twitter in 2010, can high school students ever meaningfully consent to sex with their teachers? In 2021, while you were the director of trust and safety on Twitter, an underage boy and his mother announced a lawsuit against Twitter because Twitter was benefiting from and refused to remove a lewd video featuring this boy and another minor. That is repulsive. But you violated me. What were my tweets? Okay, let's talk about them. I was talking about the deaths being reported on VAERS. By the way, that's on the CDC website. I was also saying that I didn't think any entity should enforce a non-FDA approved vaccine or mask. Guess what? A lot of people agreed with me, but you called that COVID misinformation. By the way, I'm a member of Congress and you're not. I also said the controversial COVID-19 vaccines should not be forced on our military. You want to know something? Republicans stopped that in the NDAA.
Ladies, time has expired.
And your time has expired. I yield back. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Kaboom! Marjorie Taylor Greene running Twitter. The old Twitter execs that were in charge of stuff when all this crap was going on, banning people's account, banning the President of the United States account, shadow banning people, and then allowing child porn, just nailing them to the cross at this hearing. Absolutely awesome. Like I said, the tides seem to be turning right now. We're getting a little bit of sanity in this upside down clown world. Now that we've got, I'm so stoked that the Republicans got the House, because we're gonna see a lot of stuff like this. They're gonna just nail the truth. It's gonna be truth bombs over and over and over. Just like you heard Dr. Bakhti say that 2023 is going to be the year of the truth. That was actually Pascal saying that 2023 is going to be the year the truth comes out, and it's already. Like, it's incredible. This is the start of February, and we're getting unbelievable bombs of truth being delivered in every way, shape, and form. So, with that being said, for those of you that suffered all the way through the State of the Union address by installed puppet President Biden, you're fully aware that the entire thing was just nothing but BS and lies. It was brutal. Like, I found myself yelling at my TV, which I don't even know why I made myself go through that, just to actually see it, I guess. I wanted to see the level of the false reality that these people are living in, and it didn't disappoint. But instead of making anybody suffer through that garbage or nonsense again, why don't we listen to the actual real president, the president that was cheated out of the 2020 election? Let's listen to his response to Joe Biden's hour and 10-minute live fest, because he fires back with both barrels, and you guys got to hear his response.
Here's the real State of the Union. Over the past 2 years under Biden, millions and millions of illegal aliens from 160 different countries have stormed across our southern border. Drug cartels are now raking in billions of dollars, from smuggling poison to kill our people and to kill our children. Savage killers, rapists, and violent criminals are being released from jail to continue their crime wave. And under Biden, the murder rate has reached the highest in the history of our country. Biden and the radical Democrats have wasted trillions of dollars and caused the worst inflation in half a century. Real wages are down 21 months in a row. Gas prices have soared and are now going up much higher than even before. And the typical American family is paying $2,200 in increased energy and food costs each year. Joe Biden's weaponized Justice Department, and I'm a victim of it, is persecuting his political opponents. His administration is waging war on free speech. They're trying to indoctrinate and mutilate our children. He's leading us to the brink of World War III. And on top of all of that, he's the most corrupt president in American history, and it's not even close. But the good news is we are going to reverse every single crisis, calamity, and disaster that Joe Biden has created. I am running for president to end the destruction of our country and to complete the unfinished business of making America great again. We will make our country better than ever before, and we will always put America first. Thank you.
So there's the response from the actual cheated president of the United States to Joe Biden's hour and 10-minute lie fest called the State of the Union. And I think it was good to hear what President Trump had to say. I disagree with him, obviously, like all of you, on the vaccines. I wish he would finally just take a knee over that and just say, yep, I was wrong. No one would even be mad at him. But the fact that he's still defending his decisions on the vaccines is a little bit frustrating. Honestly, he's like, realistically for the Americans, Trump is the only choice to get their country back. He's basically the Pierre Poilievre of the U.S., in my opinion. I know a lot of people probably disagree with me about that, but honestly, we've got to do whatever it takes to get rid of Justin Trudeau, and he is our best shot. He really is. So we've made it to the hour here, my friends. Another quick episode. So thank you for your patience in the gaps between shows. And obviously, thank you for tuning in again. This one is just an incredible episode. I just love the riptide of truth that is kind of rearing its head right now, and giving people a little bit of grounding ability in this upside down clown world. So it's great. I hope we see wave after wave of this and see the tides actually officially turn. It doesn't matter in the sense that there's enough truth in some of these cases that are going to be moving forward that I think you're going to see an unmistakable changing of the tide. So it's very exciting, incredibly exciting. It's nice to have an episode where we can end on a positive note and just bring you some groundbreaking testimonies and hearings that are on both sides of the border all over the world. It's just a great time. Anyway, my friends, if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Facebook. It's Canadian Patriot Radio. Use the message button for any messages or information or anything that you think is show worthy. Send it my way. And if it's up to the level that I think is going to, you know, catch people's minds and attention, it'll make the show and you'll get the credit for it. If you prefer email, it's CanadianPatriotRadio@gmail.com. The Telegram room is t.me/CPR_2, and the website is CanadianPatriotRadio.ca. You can use any one of those avenues to find us. And we're also, I never really mentioned this, but we're also on anywhere that you listen to your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Play, all that, iHeartRadio, Podbean, we're on all of them. So it doesn't really matter. You're not just limited to SoundCloud. You can find it everywhere. On SoundCloud, it actually is Canadian Patriot Radio. Everywhere else, it's just CPR. That's because of the censorship that I've already gone through once with Spotify. Spotify is kind of the parent company that runs the rest of them. And they censored me, I think, at what, 52 episodes? They completely dropped my show. So I just used the abbreviation and went right back on. And I'm sure they'll catch on. They'll find me at some point. But if you're searching me on any other platform, it's just CPR. That's it. Okay, my friends. Until next time, in all thy armed sons and daughters, command.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Canadian Patriot Radio. CPR is not filmed before a live studio audience. If you like the show, friends, make sure you give us a thumbs up. and share us on all your social media platforms. Until next time, take care.
You know.